gospel lesson today is John 17, verses 6 through 19. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me, so I am asking on their behalf, not asking on behalf of the world, but on that behalf of those you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you. So Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them. In your name, I guarded them. Not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, that Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I've given them your word. And as the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. But I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Open our hearts and minds, our lives, to you, your word, and your presence. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Do you ever think about the fact that Jesus prayed for us? Jesus prayed for us. Jesus continues to intercede on our behalf. And this prayer of Jesus is so important and so special because, like most of the last half of the Gospel of John, these are some of Jesus' final words on earth. And it wasn't a silent prayer, like I told the kids. He prayed this out loud so that they would hear it and remember it, so it would be written down. And we just heard what he prayed about. He prayed that they would be one and have unity. He prayed that they would remember everything he taught them. He prayed that we would have his joy. And he prayed that we would be in, but not of, the world in which we live. Listen to that again. They do not belong to the world. I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out. I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not. So sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me, I have sent them. Notice what he says about the world. He says we don't belong to it, just as he didn't. But he says that we are being sent out into it. And that is why he asks for our protection. A lot of Christian theology and practice has been built upon these verses and others like it in the New Testament. There are denominations that wholly emphasize not being of the world, being holy and separate because we don't belong to the world. And that's true. We belong to God. We're God's kids. But Jesus specifically prays here that we would not be taken out of the world, that we would be sent into it and protected from it, and there's a difference. The Presbyterian Church, like many denominations, has emphasized this in, not of message so that we would not believe that we are supposed to just live apart, away from all the concerns of the world. Instead, we believe we need to be right in the middle of them, addressing them, bringing the good news and peace and reconciliation to the world. We've always been a people that care a lot about social justice. Unlike believing that we're just biding time here on earth till we go to heaven with Jesus, we believe that this is important time. We are here to live as Jesus lived. We are here to work for justice and mercy and truth, which is not easy, is it? It seems a lot better to retreat from the world. In fact, we spend a lot of time and energy doing just that, right? Just think of how much money and time is spent on leisure in the United States. We work a lot, but we also play a lot. Millions, billions of dollars are spent to help people escape the cares of the world, and there's a great time and a place for that, right? Our women's retreat was like that. It was so relaxing to just get away from all of the cares of the world. Ed and I got to get away recently for our 5th anniversary. It's great to get away from the world, but we do it in order to go back out into the world. It's like that bucket theory. We need to be filled with God's peace and love when we're away so that we can pour it out when we come back. We get filled up to pour out again. Jesus sends us into the world. We're not like it, we don't love it, but we do have to live in it, and we have a mission there. 1 John 2 says, "Do not love the world or anything of the world. The world passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." That's us. We serve in the world, we do it for God, and we get the life that endures forever. One of my favorite passages about this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says there, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know the will of God, what is acceptable and good and perfect." The question is, how? How do we do that? How do we stay strong as Christians in the world, not conformed to the rest of the world? Well, it takes us back to Jesus' prayer. We have to be protected. We have to stick together. We have to listen to God's truth. Jesus prays that we'll be protected just like he prayed in the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus says this, he says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." So how are we supposed to be in but not of the world? We are supposed to listen to Jesus. His guidance, his protection, and his truth. Now, I can't think of a more timely message for this day and time. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Wow. Do we need to hear that or what? We live in a world surrounded by a bunch of fake, crazy news. It astounds me, and it's so frustrating, and it's crazy to hear things sensationalized, stretched, partial truth, or no truth at all. It's crazy that we live in a world where truth seems completely relative. Where are we supposed to find any truth, or morality, or meaning, a path to good and not evil? Well, here's the great news. We have God's word, and we have Jesus. That's what we stand upon. We stand upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We stand upon the life and example of Christ. That's how we are to be in, but not of the world. That's how we do it, through Christ. And through that gift that he gave to the followers when he left, that gift of the Holy Spirit within us. We can't do it alone. But if we stand upon our Savior, that love and unity and truth, we can truly be God's ambassadors in this world. But do you believe that in your heart? Do you think of Jesus as someone that you really believe in? Because we sure need it. In a world where it seems like every person of power or prominence is fallen or corrupt, when we turn on the news and we hear about lies and hatred of even people in power, I think having Jesus to believe in is awesome news. What about you? But it's not easy. It's not an easy path. It's far easier to just follow all the crazy, to go for the sensational, the conspiracies, to ignore any real story or truth underneath or beneath or around it all. It's far easier for us to be pulled apart, divided, demonize each other. If you're a Republican, it is super easy to say those bleeding heart Democrats are crazy. If you're a Democrat, it's super easy to say those conservative Republicans are crazy. If you're white, it's easy to say people of color have issues. If you're not white, it's easy to say white people are prejudiced. That's what we see, isn't it? That's what we see and hear all the time. If you're on Facebook or Twitter or the internet or cable news, it's super easy to just watch and listen to what you think you agree with, to even chime in with the crazy. We have lots of easy roads. Jesus is calling us to something entirely different, far more challenging, far higher, more noble, more worthy, more eternal. He's calling us to a hard road and a narrow path. Remember those words of Jesus in Matthew 7? He said, "Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. There are many who take it, but the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Wow. That's what he said. That's our road. It takes more energy and effort and brain power than going along with the world. It's a narrow path which can be overwhelming, but our path is not big and wide. Our path is really just two lines. Our path is just this. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Our path is a cross. It's not easy. It's more challenging. It requires thought and dedication and commitment. But as Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's our hope. We're never in it alone. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts to guide us and lead us to be in but not of the world. That's our gift if we'll listen and pay attention to Jesus. With that as our courage and strength, we can actually stand up for the things that Jesus stood up for, like love, not hatred. I was listening to the radio this week, and I heard these famous words of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Through violence you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie or establish truth. Through violence you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate." In fact, violence increases hate. Violence multiplies violence. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Sounds like something Jesus would say, doesn't it? In fact, it is something Jesus said, being the light of the world himself. Driving out hate and violence, that's our question today. Will we give in to all that? Or will we listen and lean into God's love? Friends, with that power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can stand up for unity. We can do that. Seems impossible in 2018, but we sure can do it. I'm a member of our Presbytery's Governing Council, and this last Monday we were talking about business, and we stopped and said, you know what's really important for us to talk about? How to be one. How to be united despite all our differences. See, on this council, there are men and women, older and younger, white, Native American, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, shy, outspoken. It's a cross-section of the church, which is awesome. But it means that for the 20 of us in the room, we've got 25 different opinions about absolutely everything. What we agree on is this: Jesus is our Lord and Savior. That's our foundation. The rest we can figure out. Yes, we're diverse, but we are one in following Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we decided as a council that we should spend more time truly listening to one another, not just what we usually do, which is when you hear someone you disagree with, you start forming your response in your mind, right? Am I right? You hear something you can't stand, and immediately you're like, I know what I'm going to say to that. It's only natural to think that way, but what we're called to is the way of Christ. We talked about how to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us through one another, even those we disagree with. What an amazing idea. And how, when we are addressing issues that Presbyterians address, like climate change, LGBT issues, women's issues, we should not just debate. We should sit down around a table and listen. And we hope to model that for our whole presbytery. Finally, friends, because we are in but not of the world, we can stand up for what is true and just. We can all think of incredible models for this, right? You can think of incredible people in your head, like Martin Luther King Jr., or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or Oscar Romero, or Desmond Tutu, or Nelson Mandela. But there are also people right here in Owosso. There are people right here in this church who stand up for truth and justice. Where is God calling you to do that? To stand up in your life for what is right? Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." What are we being silent about? What are the things in our world, in our sphere of influence, that matter? When I think about this, and I think about this church, and I think about being a part of this church family, I think about this church's capacity for love. I think about the way we have our mission statement as Jesus' great commandment in Matthew 22, to love God and your neighbor as yourself, all of our neighbors. That's what you've done for me and my family. I encourage you to keep on going, because that is the cross-shaped path of love through this world. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We are in but not of this world. Jesus is our model of love and unity and truth. And as Jesus prayed for us, when we pursue his way of life, we find joy. What could be better than that? And to that, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 in your hymnal.